Tonight's reading is from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 12, and it can be found on page 991 in your Pew Bibles. And it's called The Parable of the Shrewd Manager. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I will do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 3,000 liters of olive oil,' he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 1,500. Then he asked the second, 'And how much do you owe?' 30 tons of wheat,' he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 24. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" We thank God for his word.
Last Sunday evening, John was preaching, and he shared with us that it was a passage that he found really difficult. It was a passage about trusting God and not being anxious. And actually, he had had a very anxious week that week. So it was, in a way, one of the last subjects that he wanted to preach on. Now, those of us that preach occasionally, well, we're given what we're given. And tonight, when I looked at this passage, I thought, oh, great. Apparently, this is one of the most hotly contested passages in the New Testament in terms of what the scholars actually think it's all about. And I can tell you that I am no theological scholar. So there was all sorts of reasons why I thought, I'm going to struggle with this one. For a start, it's a very strange story in many ways. This shrewd manager, this shrewd steward, who is commended for some very dubious behavior, apparently. And then on top of that, it's about faithfulness. Now, if I was telling you about God's faithfulness, that would be great. I could spend the whole evening talking to you about God's faithfulness. It's an incredible subject. But actually, tonight, it's about our faithfulness. Now, that's a trickier one, isn't it? I wonder if you would describe yourself as faithful. I wonder if you would describe yourself as trustworthy. That's difficult, isn't it? So what's this subject about? Well, it's about money. And money is a subject that we tend to be a bit coy about, isn't it? I wonder how much you've really listened to sermons and discussed money. We've certainly talked and heard about giving, about being faithful in our giving to the Lord, to his service, to his servants. But just generally talking about money, it's just not one of those subjects that we we really want to talk about, is it? It's private, isn't it? It's not something that we would want to discuss. We have had some training and some talks. We've had a CAP money course run a few times here. But otherwise, it's not an easy subject, is it? So, money, money, money. It's a rich man's world. Well, you may not be a great ABBA fan, but some of you might know that song. It's quite catchy. It's one of those tunes that gets in your mind. I shall probably be thinking about it all this coming week, having mentioned it. But, you know, this is really what this subject is about. And I wonder how important you think money is. When you look through the Gospels, the story of Jesus' ministry, just think about the number of times that money actually comes up. It's actually a very, very common theme. You didn't have to think very long, I'm sure. There's another story about stewards that were given money to invest. There's soon immediately after this passage, there's a passage about the beggar Lazarus and the rich man. Jesus tells about a woman who throws two small coins into the offering and says that she's given everything that she had. There was a woman who adored the Lord so much that she washed his feet with her hair, and she broke a very expensive jar of perfume, and somebody else reprimanded her for such a waste of money. There was Zacchaeus, the tax collector, wasn't there, who met with the Lord Jesus and just turned his life around, and he said, "Lord, if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to give it back, even more than I've ever taken away from people." People tried to trip Jesus up by asking him about taxes, whether it was right to pay Romans taxes. There's the story of the lost coin, isn't there? A lady who has 10 coins and loses one. There's the prodigal son who takes his inheritance and wastes it. There's the rich fool who builds barns for himself because he thinks he's going to have a great, prosperous and long life. There's a story about salaries of people that come out and work in someone's field, and during different parts of the day, they're given exactly the same salary, even though they've worked for different times in the day. There's a good Samaritan who gives money to the innkeeper to look after the man who's been beaten up and left on the wayside. And of course, there's the story of Jesus when he entered the temple and threw out the moneylenders. So actually, money is a very, very common theme, despite the fact that we don't actually talk about it too much. So how important is money? Well, we're going to come back to that. Let's have a look at this story. If you've got your Bibles, have a look in it. Luke and chapter 16. So we have this manager, and he's brought in front of his boss, and his boss says, "I've heard that you've been wasting my money. You haven't been doing a good job of looking after my estate." And the man makes no attempt to defend himself, apparently. He realizes that he's about to lose his job, and he says to himself, "I'm too lazy to work meanly and to get a job that means hard work. And I'm too proud to beg people to give me money. What am I going to do about this?" So we have this picture of this man who's a poor manager, who's lazy, who's proud. And so he hatches this plan. And the plan is that he's going to bring some of the people who owe his master. And he brings a couple of them to him. And he says, "Look, what is it that you owe?" And there are two people, they come, "Well, look, instead of paying this whole money back, or what you owe, just give part of it to me, and I'll write a record that you've given the whole loan back. So it looks as if on top of everything else, he's adding dishonesty to his list of problems. And he does this because he thinks, well, I'm going to need friends. I'm going to be out of a job. I'm going to need people who can help me in the future. And so he's really out there buying friends, buying contacts. Does it sound familiar to you? We hear so much of our politicians who we trust to lead us, and yet so often they seem to be basically feathering their own beds and making sure that they're okay. So he's cooking the books, by the looks of it. And what's amazing is that as Jesus finishes this story, he says, the master commends this man for being shrewd. So what is happening? The story of subject of stewardship comes up several times in the Gospels. This isn't the only one. I've already mentioned there was a time when the stewards were given money, and the master went away, and he expected them to invest the money. And two of them invested, and one of them just hid the money away. And there's another story of tenants who are looking after a property, and when the master sends to them to get their money, etc., and from the harvest, they beat up the servants that they first send, and then they kill the son when he comes. Now, Tom Wright in his book suggests that this story of stewardship would have been very recognizable to his audience. They would have recognized that Jesus was talking about the Jewish people. God had given them a promised land, a land to look after, to watch over, to steward. And they had been unfaithful. And instead of making sure that the land was used to help those who were in need, to help orphans, they kept things for themselves. And so they were a bit like this steward, rather unfaithful. And so Jesus' audience would have recognized what this story was about. So this is where it gets difficult. I'm not going to go into the details. It suggests that there are three possibilities of what's actually happening here. The one is the most obvious one, that this man is being dishonest and he's making up the books. And he's just making friends to make sure that when he's out of a job, he'll have someone to go to. One of the other possibilities was that what this man was doing was knocking off the interest on this their loans. And in Israel, it was illegal to charge interest. So, of course, his master couldn't do anything about it. He could hardly admit that he was actually charging interest. So that was a suggestion. The last suggestion was what the man was actually doing was knocking off his own commission. And therefore, he was actually making a sort of a sacrifice to make sure that he was okay in the future. It seems unlikely, actually, that it was necessarily the first one. Otherwise, it would be very hard to see how his master would commend him for his actions when he knew that on top of everything else, he was being cheated. And so maybe the third one is correct. In the end, it probably doesn't matter too much. So what is it that Jesus is really saying here? What's the point of this story? How important is the way we handle our money in God's eyes? What Jesus says here, when he talks to his audience, having told them the story, he said, and he asked this question, he said, is the world more careful with its priorities of worldly wealth? In other words, is it more careful about money than we are about the priorities of things that should be more important to us? Issues about love, about faith, about justice, about compassion. And he suggests that the world is more careful with its money than we, people of faith, are about these more important things. And so that's quite almost quite a condemnation, really, isn't it? He's saying there. And then the second point is, he said, if we can't be trusted with money, and the Bible talks about it being a small thing, a little thing, if we can't be trusted with the lesser thing of money, then we can't be trusted with the more important gifts that God gives us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit that we want to see used within the church. And we've been talking about this, haven't we, recently, about gifts and saying we're looking for God's gifts to a church. But what this passage is saying is, if you cannot be trusted with money, can you really be trusted with those more important gifts? Not actually very comfortable, is it? That sort of question. So I'd just like you to think about a few, very simple questions, really. How trustworthy are we with our money? I tried to think about some examples that we could think about. I wonder if we are less than 100% honest with our tax returns, those of us that actually make them. Or with VAT. So when someone comes to do work on our house and says, maybe doing some painting or something, and says, well, if you pay me cash, then I won't need to let Inland Revenue about this. I won't need to pay VAT, so it will cost you less. Is that something that you would go along with? I mentioned the second one to one of our house group because it was something, it's so easy not to be aware of some of these things. I wonder, have you ever accepted something that you shouldn't have? Of course you wouldn't. Well, I wonder. You go into a car park and you're just about to pay for your parking and somebody rushes up to you and says, I've still got my ticket here. There's an hour left on it. And you accept it very gratefully. Did you know that you're defrauding the owners of that car park and the council, perhaps? Because on the ticket, on the back, will probably be something like non-transferable. That means that the person bought that ticket for their car, it cannot be used for your car. Would you do that? Yes. Have you ever paid less than you should have for anything? Just before Christmas, I went and bought some Christmas cards. And I went to the shop, and I wasn't particularly concentrating, and I bought three sets of Christmas cards, and I paid, and I was just going out the door, and I thought, it doesn't seem right. I'm sure that I should have paid more than that. And then I thought, oh, it's probably one of these, buy three and get and just pay for two. So I was just about to walk out the door, and I thought, now, I better check. So I went back and I said, look, I think you've only charged me two instead of for three. And the lady just looked shocked. She said, oh, you're right, I should have charged you for three. Thank you so much for coming back. And she said, most people just wouldn't bother. Now, I'm not putting myself up as some sort of paragon of virtue here. I'm just saying the simple fact I was all about to walk out the door and think it doesn't really matter. It's not important. It's only the price of a Christmas card. Set. But it is, you see. It's being trustworthy about the simple and the easy things like money. Have we been trustworthy in terms of our giving to others? Do we give to God sacrificially? Do we give to others who are needy around us sacrificially? How do we use our money? So going back to our first question, how important is money? This passage, in one way, says money is not particularly important. It's one of those lesser things. But it's a bit like a test, isn't it? That God gives us things. And it doesn't matter whether you are well off or whether you have very little. Whatever God has given us, it is a gift from Him. How trustworthy are we with that little thing that He gives us? Can you trust me with something that's more important than money? So if I pass the test of being trustworthy with money, then God will trust me and He will trust you with greater, more important things. Things that are more important for His kingdom. Tom Wright, in his book, suggests a novel way of prayer. I've never thought about this. We talk about prayer a lot, don't we? And he suggests that why not get your bank balance out for last year and sit over your bank balance and pray to God about it. Talk to Him. Talk to Him about the purchases that you made. Talk to Him about the way you used that money, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little. Talk to Him about whether you were trustworthy, whether you were faithful with what He gave you. There's one very awkward verse in this. You may, for those of you who were looking, I think we may have skipped over this particular one. And it was one that I struggled with the most. Verse 9, if you have a look at that one, it says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, what on earth does that mean? It really does sound as if it's about buying your way into heaven. It doesn't it? And it's certainly a verse that I struggled with. But again, when we thought about, well, looking at my bank balance and what I've done with that money, the actual picture there is of almsgiving. In other words, we use our money and we use that to give to others, to give to others who are in need. Because we all know that we cannot take that money with us, that one day we will go into the Lord's presence and we're not going to have a bank account and we're not going to have money with us. It will all be used. So it's just a reminder that money is transitory. One day it will have all gone. So what have you used that money for? Have you been generous? Have you given that money to those who needed it? Or have you kept it for yourself? A real challenge, isn't it? Praying over your bank account when you look at what you've done with what God's given to you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that You are a faithful God. We love to sing about that. In fact, we've been singing hymns tonight about Your faithfulness. We know that we can trust You entirely. And yet, Lord, when You challenge us about our trustworthiness, our faithfulness, we find it so difficult. Lord, we realize that we are not trustworthy people as we should be. We realize that so often our selfishness gets in the way. That so often we just don't think about how we should use what You've given to us. The things that we own, the money that we receive. We pray, Lord, that as we thought about this subject tonight, that you would speak to our hearts. We pray that as a church here, we would be trustworthy. We pray that as individuals, we would be trustworthy. We pray that we would be a people who are known to be trustworthy, that those around us will see our behaviour, what we do and what we say, and will know that we can trust you and that we can be trusted entirely. Lord, if there are things that you need to say to us, we pray that we would be listening to them. Lord, we don't want this to be just a theoretical exercise, another time when we just reading a passage from your scriptures. Lord, we believe that you have things to say to us. We ask that you would give us hearts that are willing and obedient. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.